Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all this morning. Really is nice to see you all, because earlier on we thought it was just going to be us. So it is lovely to see you all this morning, to hear to worship the living God, the God who loves us. We welcome those that are listening at home and pray a blessing upon you. This morning we're going to start with Jesus be the centre. Now last week Jan had it, and it was quite funny because I'd done some songs for this week because Alice is accompanying us, and she's not worked with me and I've not worked with her before, so it's a first this morning. So I chose Jesus be the centre for this week. So I thought, well, I'm not going to change it because God knows all about it. So we're going to sing the same as we sang last week, and we're going to bring him into the centre of our worship. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you, Father, regardless of all the stuff that's going off in our lives and in the world, that you are still in control. So this morning, Lord, we bring you to the center of our lives and of our worship. Lord, bless us this morning, and people that may have come this morning with a little bit of a heavy heart, we pray that you will touch it and that you will wrap them round with your love. Those that feel a bit hurt, upset, please, Lord, hold them in the palm of your hand till they can walk again. So, Lord Jesus, take this morning and use it to your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'd like to share a little bit about what's happened to me during the week. We had a couple last week come to our house, Michael and I, for a coffee. And they were sharing their testimony with us. And the testimony itself blew my socks off. It was just amazing. But it was also the healing of 6 weeks ago that the guy was telling us about. I don't want to share it because it's their testimony and it's their right to share. But what it did was, for me, God is still working his purpose out. Sometimes we, like David said, we tend to think, because we're not massive in numbers, because things aren't how we think they should go, God's not working. But he is. He is. And believe me, I hope at some point I can share their testimony because it was just amazing. And God loves and wants so much to share. And sometimes, like what we do, I was saying at a ladies' meeting, we use jargon as well, don't we, when people come in. We always say, oh, this or saved or righteousness. Well, that's fine for us because we might know all them words. But a lot of people coming in don't know what we're talking about, basically. It's like a foreign language. I remember when I first came into church, I thought, what on earth are they talking about? You know, I didn't have a clue. So we need to also talk to them in the language we all understand. You know, God is on the case. And when you hear testimonies like that, you realise God's working. He's around. It's just that sometimes we miss our opportunities for a kickoff. And when it's gone, we think, oh, we should have done it. A bit like Peter. I always say I'm a bit like Peter. Many of us are, aren't we? I jump in, say what I should say, and then think, I'm sinking here. I'm sinking. I've got to go back in the boat. So don't stay in the boat. You know, if God's asking you to do something, get out of the boat. And if you get wet, then, you know, he's there with his hands out for you. He says, come back and I'll make sure you're all right. So let's take every opportunity that we think God's giving us and move it. Let's go and share Jesus with somebody. Let's not miss our opportunities. When I was thinking earlier on in the week, I've been reading a book from Smith Wigglesworth, yeah. And he was such a character. And I was thinking how sometimes in the world and in the churches, we've lost some of the characters, haven't we? We have anyway. We used to have a gentleman at our other church. He was nearly 100 when he died. And I'm sure all you have had people the same. But Uncle Arthur, he was a butler in it when he worked. And if you rang him up, he would say, "Hello, Hobson here." And, you know, he was such a character, but he loved the Lord. And we had a lot of young people in the church at the time. And I don't know if some of you remember, there was a time we were heavily into dancing. And he was lovely. He was nearly 90 then. And he was still with the young people. He didn't, as long as Jesus was put up on high, then Uncle Arthur were fine. He was fine with it. And just as a sidewood thing, Michael used to take him home. And you know where Crystal Peaks is? You might not, but the road, you come into Crystal Peaks, you can't go down. It's shut off, it's no entry. And Michael said, "Oh, I can't go down there, Arthur." So he says, "Yes, you can. Of course, listen. If somebody stops you, just say, 'Hobson told me to do it.'" So that would be okay then when you tell the policeman. But what I'm trying to say is these characters, they're so blessing. Uncle Arthur blessed me so much. And our young people who were still going on, including our family, for God. So, you know, the fact that you might be getting old, whatever old means, don't hold that against yourself. Go for it. You know, we've a lot to share and a lot to give. Now, you know, the fact that we might be 80 or 90 or 78, whatever, don't matter. You know, we've a lot to share. Let's not be frightened of sharing it. You know, what a legacy we've got. An absolutely fantastic saviour. So let's share him. Let's not be scared.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here this morning. Carol's away. She's been released for the weekend and she's grabbing it with all opportunity that she can. So I'm bringing you the notices. Bear with me. No, great to see you. And especially if you're watching at home as well, great that you're tuning in with us. Give you a warm welcome. So our notices, tomorrow we've got from 9:30, prayer and meditation on Zoom. You'll have all the details. Tuesday is the art playgroup in the morning, 10 to 11:30, then in the afternoon, 1 till 2:30. Thursday, there's going to be no lunch club. Shock, horror. Jean, it'll be fine. It's coming back on. It's not finishing. We're not having a lunch club on Thursday, just simply because we're having the work in the kitchen done. Probably Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's urgently needed. And so just to halt a few things while we get that all shipshape and tidy. And then it'll be back week after. No worries about that. One thing from Livy on Friday, the 1st of December, which is this coming Friday, and it's Advent next week, there's going to be the first rehearsal for the Christmas choir. You may remember her saying last week about the choir that we're going to have for the Carol by Candlelight service in 22nd. But next Friday, 7:30 to 8:30 down here for the rehearsal. Information is on the back table if you want any more than that, or speak to Livy and she'll be able to help you with that. Christmas events, as we're coming into Advent, as I say, next week. On Wednesday, the 6th of December, there's the Crib Blessing, which is at 6 o'clock up at Aston Birdcage Walk. And then there's refreshments at All Saints Aston Church afterwards. So that's 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 6th for the Crib Blessing. And then there's the 14th of January in advance. There's the meal at the Phoenix at 1 o'clock. Again, there's a sign-up sheet at the back. If you just put your name and how many people may be attending that. Any more information, speak with Carol when she's back next week. And again, at the back, there's flyers for all the different Christmas activities that's going on throughout Advent, all the services, the times and all that. So again, look at the back there. or speak to one of us, of course. You remember that we was collecting for World Vision. Happy to say that we're sending a donation, a gift off for £280. And that will go towards aid and that for help in the Middle East crisis that is still ongoing. Also to say that the latest edition of the newsletter is out. Again, copies at the back. There'll also be a link in tomorrow's weekly update email just to direct you to where it is on our website. But there's hard copies at the back there. Please do pick them up on your way out if you haven't already. And of course, as always, information on our website, Facebook page are regularly updated. Or of course, get in touch with Carrier Pigeon, Yoghurt Pots, phones, however you choose to do it. They all work. They're all still there. One final thing, I've noticed this has been put on, this is Swallownest United Church's choir on the 14th of December, starting at 7:30, and that's at Central Methodist Church on Lodge Lane. Don't park over my drive, but do park elsewhere if you wish. But that's on the 14th at 7:30. It's not that I'm bothered, it's Julie gets upset. Right, kids, you're going to go on out, and Julie's leading that, so enjoy. Kids, that is, as you well as you. So, yeah, enjoy. As the kids are going out, we just pray over them and thank you, Father God, for each and every one of them, wonderfully created and made in your image. So, Lord, bless them as they go out this morning. Amen. Excellent. That's all that. So, as you know, we are coming to the final of this short series that we've been looking at, which is seeing God's kingdom, God's way. And just as I get this up as well, you know we've been looking out basically over the last 4 weeks because on the 12th was Remembrance Sunday, so we didn't speak on it that week. However, we've been looking at how we are living through changes in a shifting world. Just last week, we looked at the heart of the gospel, which is Jesus. And this week, in a moment, we're going to be looking at how we can keep calm and carry on doing what we need to do. But a bit of a recap, if you like. You remember when we did look at that first week, at the beginning of November, of how we're living through changes in an ever-shifting world where all can be involved. All can be involved. It's not just down to a few or particular people, but as Christians, as those that profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour, and as he calls us, as we've called upon him, he calls us to go and to share, which is exactly what Tina was sharing this morning. We're never too old to do it in whatever way we are called to do it. And remembering the clues in the title there, it's that God calls us to do. And when he calls us to do, he equips us and he strengthens us and he encourages us and gives us the gifts and skills required and at times the words to say to those that he puts on the journey with to be able to speak into their lives so that they too can encounter the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So all can be involved. As Jesus said himself, he came to serve, not be served. And seeing God's kingdom revealed through others and all around. Again, Tina shared of that this morning, how friends came to them for a meal and fellowship and shared testimony. Through that, they saw God at work. And she is absolutely bang on the head with saying that God is still at work today. Miracles still do happen. More on that another time, because often that can be difficult. But you'll recall when I said that Alan Hirsch, a theologian, said that if conversion is just saying a prayer to get into heaven, which isn't in the Bible, then why bother with what Jesus actually taught, which was social and ethical revolution? If conversion is just about getting into heaven, a prayer to get into heaven, which isn't in Scripture, then why bother with what Jesus actually taught, which is social and ethical revolution? You'll recall that. And with that reminder from our call from Jesus himself, where he said, come, follow me. Not something or someone else, but he said himself, come and follow him. And the reminder of what C.S. Lewis said, when Christians behave badly or fail to behave well, we're making Christianity unbelievable to the outside world. If we look at it as inside and outside. Basically, we should be a church without walls. We shouldn't be confined with the walls and just the inside and the outsiders. But actually what he's getting at is that when we behave badly or fail to behave well, we're making it unbelievable to those that are unsure or unaware of it. Our careless lives, he says, sets the outer world talking and gives them grounds for talking in a way that throws doubt on the truth of Christianity itself. I go a step further and say it throws doubt on Jesus Christ himself. Because again, today, Christianity and what some people believe and portray it to be isn't actually what Christ came and did or said or continues to do or say. Because again, as we've heard already this morning, he still continues to do to this day. And so all, as we've said, and I said in that first week at the beginning of November, this isn't all to feel bad or that we're on the decline, but that actually saying that we're bucking the trend. We're seeing kingdom growth. We turn our focus to the kingdom and see that growth as we're living through the changes in an ever-changing world. And it is that ever-changing world. And then just the other week, the heart of the gospel being Jesus. That picture of a murmuration, as I showed, the starlings in flight, which I'm sure you've all seen before, and you capture it around this time of year, November, December time, just at dusk, where they flow in these beautiful formations, but they flow in harmony and unity together, mesmerizing shapes, flying around, following each other, splitting from each other, coming back together with each other, all at speeds of up to 50 miles an hour, and not once crashing into one another, because they're aware of their surroundings and each other and what they're doing. And that, as I said, is just like us. How can we flow in harmony? Ultimately, focusing on Jesus Christ, who himself calls us to follow him. What does that look like in that flow and in that relation? Morning, guys. Good to see you. And we're also hearing more of how God is working through people. As I said, sharing testimony, as we've heard, people are also sharing that, seeing God move in ways that we may not have expected or seeing through the recent times of turmoil and trauma that we've all experienced. And we've all gone through so much over these last few years alone, let alone things before and most recent. But yet, how do we see God working and flowing through all of that? Because we see it at the heart of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ, in that ever-living revelation and ultimate glorification as he sees us, as he calls us, as he wants us to be with him, treasured possessions. And so in all of that, to declare the gospel, that is of Jesus Christ, simply and consistently, knowing that God will send people because he knows they will hear about Jesus in this place, God will do the work and he will bring those who will be receptive to hear his word. You remember Alex Harris and Chrissy Remsberg speak of that in their book, On This Rock, through the Firestarters course. And so that is what it's about. And again, as what Tina were alluding to this morning, not overcomplicating it using big words and jargon, but simply and consistently sharing the word of Jesus Christ himself. Not about prayers, pray this and that's it, you're in, and see you later, you're on your own with it, but about journeying, being in it for the long haul if necessary, building relationships, having fellowship together, having time together. Nothing's a performance, nothing's a big song and dance, but actually, as we said, celebrating the small and sometimes insignificant with the few, but seeing Christ in all of that. So when we put all that together and we reflect on that for a moment, that may actually bring more questions than answers. And it's times like this where we take the time to reflect, we take time to think about it. What questions is it bringing? Does it provide any answers? But it may also be a case where we aren't necessarily looking for answers, but that we need to seek more of God's kingdom, God's way. What the heck does that look like in reality? Because again, these can be very different ways that we see God at work in our lives. But we need to work at that individually, but yet corporately together. It works in all ways, through all things. So how do we keep calm and carry on? And let me ask this, what helps you in your walk with Jesus? How do we keep calm and carry on in an ever-changing world where we talk about the heart of the gospel is Jesus Christ, where we simply and consistently share it, knowing that God will send people, that because he knows and he will do the works, not of us, but that he will do it, and give us those words to say. How then does that help you in your walk with Jesus? As you look at that on a daily basis, not just on a Sunday, because it's not all just about the Sunday. There's many different ways we can look at this model of being church, the people, not the building. We could look at it as that this is the engine hub, if you like, on the Sunday, where those that are disciple makers, those that are followers of Christ, come together and be re-energized and revitalized to go out into the coming week and share and build and continue and come back. That engine hub, if you like, ever glowing, ever being energized to do that. Because if we don't, then we end up burning out. Or it's about seeing what, how many people we get in. There's very different models with this. Not all are right, not all are wrong. But what works in this ever-changing world, where the heart of the gospel is Christ, where we're able to keep calm and carry on, seeing God's kingdom, God's way, so all accumulating here. So as we think on that, and I believe the readings for us here today help us focus on God, who offers us help today and hope for the future, providing that unwavering confidence within him. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 27. If you've got the Pew Bibles in front of you, it's page 460. But we're turning to Psalm 27 this morning. Because although written thousands of years ago, it speaks of the one who came. It speaks of the one who is here and will continue to be. As I say, it speaks of that hope for today, but a hope for the future and that unwavering confidence in God. Psalm 27, page 460, if you're there. We're going to read it. It's quite short, but it's quite profound. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up, and my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make a melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, or you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your hearts take courage. Wait for the Lord. Well, Father God, as we pause and as we again turn our eyes to you, as we seek you, it's your face that we seek. To be in your presence this very day, as we've said already, to be in an encounter, the risen Lord Jesus Christ here with us this morning. May we wait upon you. And in all that we hear this morning, may we also be listening for that still small voice. That is your voice speaking directly into our hearts. Lord, may you open our ears, our hearts and our minds to be receptive of you this morning. In your name and for your glory. Amen. And so as we have heard that and as we turn to look to try and think about how we keep calm and carry on. How often do you run to God when it all goes upside down? How often do you first run to God when it all goes upside down? Or maybe is it a case that God's plan B? Because actually, when it all goes upside down, you come to a moment of crisis and you're thinking, how the heck am I going to get out of this? What happens if I try? No, that may not work. What happens if I do? No, I'll ring such and such. They may know. Or they're not there. Oh, God help. Because there's been that pattern before all that. And quite often, I'm sure, because I often say it, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to go out of this? Me, little old me. And 9 times out of 10, I can't. But actually, when I take time out and I'm walking and praying and seeking God, sometimes answers are revealed. Sometimes the situation moves on. But it's God that's done that. And how often, and I've said this many times here in sermons past, how often would we save so much time, stress, and energy if God was always plan A? If we lived in that daily relationship with God, and as we speak and as we journey with him on a daily basis, and in constant communion with God. And we do that quite easily as we have that open receptiveness and communication with him through power of Holy Spirit. You remember as we look through Acts, the people were full of the Holy Spirit and encouraged and empowered to go and do all that they had to do, sometimes staring death in the face and sometimes being killed for what they were doing. But they was in constant communion with God through Christ Jesus and power of Holy Spirit. So often when we're trying to keep calm and carry on, when we experience difficulties, then make God plan A rather than plan B or C or D or E or F or however far down the line you may then come to God. But have him at the forefront. As we sung this morning, Jesus, be the center. What does that look like to have Jesus at the center of our lives in everything, in all that we do, in all that we say, in all that we think, having Christ at the center of our lives? Is that what we're not called to do when we're called to follow Christ? You may be sat there thinking, well, how the heck do we do that? Because that's really difficult. Of course it is. It's not meant to be easy, I'm sure. But actually, the more we do it, the more we practice it, the more we come in tune and in union with God through Christ in power of the Holy Spirit, believe me, the easier it comes. And it's not all about singing and dancing and jumping and whooping in the air. And as we've said many a time, if people say becoming a Christian, you'll become rich and life's great forever after, run a mile. Because often, sometimes it does get worse. But yet we have that hope and that assurance that can only be gained in that relationship and communion with God through Christ and power of the Holy Spirit, that beautiful Trinity, three in one. Work at it and see where it takes and see where it leads, because it's that David in this psalm relies upon, linked to be the author of this psalm, sought God's guiding presence every day. When trouble came his way, he was there with God, and that's why he declares in the word that the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He knew firsthand what it was like. Because remember, in the story of David, when he was called to be king, he was only 16 years old at the time. But he didn't actually become king till much later on, till he was around in his 30s. And so he waited upon the Lord. And yet through all of that, he was being chased down. When trouble came his way, he was already in God's presence and was prepared to handle any test. And that is the same for us today. It's no different. Of course, it's very different times that we live in. I don't think any of us have been hounded down and chased to be killed. But yet here where we see, you may think, well, that's a completely different experience. It may be, but the similarities are so strikingly obvious that it's about being in the presence of God on a daily basis. And we have that so much easier today because of what Jesus Christ came and did. And because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he has a gift of Holy Spirit to dwell within you and to be your guide and your counsellor. Crikey, what more do we need? What more do we need? It's as though we are blessed and anointed with the most heavenly of riches. We need not gold or silver, nor the latest iPad or the latest fancy car or the big widescreen TVs and all the other things that commercialism wants us to take and go with. But actually, Christ Jesus himself, because all else will and does follow. You recall last week maybe where I referred to scripture that reminds us to rest in God's presence, to take time and not to rush into things, to see the bigger picture. Again, Jesus himself speaking into our lives by saying, take upon my yoke, for it is light and easy. Take upon my yoke, for it is light and easy. And he gives us rest for our souls. Couple that, if you like, with Moses seeking God and God giving him a short but profound answer in Exodus 33. You'll recall where Moses saying, we cannot go on ahead if you do not come with us. You need to guide us. And God simply answers him, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. This is a God that loves us. This is a God that wants to spend time with us. This is a God who sacrificed his one and only son, Jesus Christ, so that all will be counted free. All who come and declare in the name of Christ Jesus, all that will take up and follow him once we lay everything down and put it all aside and take up and follow him, to be able to be in his presence, to be able to have rest, to be able to keep calm and carry on in what he calls us to do. As I said, the first verse, it says, the Lord is my salvation. The Lord is a stronghold of my life. How many times do we declare this? Is it every day or is it in moments of times and trouble? How often in times of trouble do we maybe jump to and repeat the words of Psalm 23? To remind ourselves and be assured of that word, that even though I walk in the valley of death, I will not feel no evil. For your rod and your staff, it comforts me. Is that where we take comfort from? When often, sometimes, God's plan B, C, D, F, or whatever it is. Or actually, would we need to be reminded of that actually when God is plan A and we are simply with him in all things, at all times, doing all things? As we keep calm, as we carry on, as we see God's kingdom, God's way in an ever-shifting world with Christ at the centre of that, because he is the gospel, and that we're then able to journey with people as we go through. And so, as we see what David says here in that declaration that the Lord is his light and his salvation, the Lord is his stronghold of his life, ask yourself, who is your Lord? Who is it that you seek on a daily basis? Is it Jesus? Is it Argos? Is it Sainsbury's? Is it cars? Is it money? Is it other things? Is it addictions? Who is the Lord and who is it that you seek? Because when we look through the lens of Jesus, we begin to see a fresh revelation of him. When we look through that lens, as we seek in Psalm 27, we see it talks about Jesus being at the right hand, our light and our salvation. Verse 8, as you look there, it calls us to seek his face. Verse 13 reminds us to remain confident and to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Because as we know, and as often people just say once a year, he is risen indeed, hallelujah. But yet, it's every day. From that moment that he broke out of the tomb, he was risen and alive and is alive forevermore. In and amongst the land of the living, is Christ not living within us right now? But do we choose not to celebrate that? Do we choose not to feel like that? Because sometimes circumstances get in the way. Hey, and I get that. Sometimes we can have real stinkers of days, real off days, and be real down. Real hurt and real upset. I get that. That's why I often say it's not about to be jumping around and going, whoop, isn't it great? Because sometimes it isn't great. Sometimes it can be really rubbish. But what is it of the hope and the assurance that carries us through? Who is it that you seek? Who is it that's your Lord? How is it that you're able to keep calm and carry on? Because as we look through this, it finishes off by saying that we are to wait for the Lord to be strong and to take heart. And sometimes it's in those moments where things have gone wrong that we need to wait. We need to hit the pause button. We need to put the handbrake on, however you want to look at it. And just go, I need to wait a minute. Because life's gone a bit crazy at the moment and I need to take time and wait upon the Lord. Waiting isn't easy. Neither is it a time of doing nothing. When we wait, it's not to do nothing. Actually, it's in these times where we think we may be doing nothing and waiting, but yet we're learning, we're building, we're growing. As I said, David was anointed king at 16 years old. But he didn't actually become king until he was around 30 years old. That was a long time to wait. You can just imagine. He's got to be king. What he must have thought of. But it wasn't easy for him, being hounded and chased. But yet he waited patiently. Another person that we're familiar with in Scripture that had to wait, but saw the Lord in so many ways, is John. You know, in John's Gospel, he knew Jesus on so many levels. Jesus incarnate, Jesus through his life and his death, at the cross, through the resurrection, right the way through to the ascended, risen Lord Jesus Christ. In each way, Jesus looked different, and yet enabled John and the others to carry on. In John's account, if you want to turn to it and look there, you'll see at the beginning in chapter 1, and beginning at verse 15, where John turns round and says that this is the one who comes after me, ranks before me, but was before me. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. John declares that this is Jesus Christ walking and coming into their time. And he says that this is the one I spoke about. Verse 29, verse 35 and so on, seeing Jesus in everyday life. But then it takes a turn as you get to chapter 19. He sees Jesus in a different way. Verse 26 onwards, in his agonizing death. So John sees Jesus coming in. And all what he's doing, all what he's saying, being there with him, being one of the inner three, if you like. As Jesus refers to him, the most beloved, the beloved one. John's seen all of that. And then he's seen the agony of Jesus in death upon the cross. And through that, it doesn't end there. You get this picture of hope through the resurrection, chapter 20, verse 19, when Jesus comes to them in the room and the door's locked and he stands amongst them. No more is he seeing the battered and bruised and bloody Jesus, but he's seeing the resurrected Jesus. But then, what's more, in Revelation, and if you turn there, chapter 1, because it's actually quite astonishing with what John sees and what he reveals here. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 12. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs on his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like the flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell like dead at his feet. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." John sees the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. He's seen him throughout all the other stages of his life. And yet, the description that we have through his gospel account, through to Revelation of the ascended Jesus, is completely and astonishingly different. But yet Jesus is the same. John falls as though dead at his feet. What does Jesus do? He bends down and he touches him at his right shoulder. Why right? What significance is that? It's the power and authority that he has. It's the power and authority that he also places upon John, the significance within that. But ultimately, it's Jesus, though ascended at the right hand of the Father, like he said, all through time, he comes and he reveals himself to John. And still, John recognizes him. He describes the encounter with him as a very transformational way. Think of the joys, the pains, the conclusions, all that it would have brought as Jesus and John lived together. All that John saw within that time. And yet he too was able to continue and carry on. Jesus said that he was to finally ascend to the Father, and yet he still revealed himself to John. But just not as John would have recognized. The golden sash around his chest, eyes blazing like fire, feet bronze, burnished like bronze in the furnace, his voice like the sound of rushing waters, his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Can't comprehend that. Cannot comprehend that. So no wonder why John fell dead at his feet. But yet Jesus offered that comfort to him, knowing that he is to be calm. Do not be afraid. Continue with what is set before him, knowing that his presence continues to go with him, the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. See, with these accounts of what we hear in Psalm 27, of what David is saying, that hope and assurance that he has for the today and for the future, that unwavering confidence in what is to come of in God at that time, of what it declares of Christ coming, of what John experienced and what we still experience today going on and evermore, reminds us that he's always there. That he shows self-sacrifice, which is key into participating with the kingdom of God. And in a way where too, a call to lay things down and to follow him. To keep calm, to carry on doing what he's calling us to do. And maybe if we struggle with that, then maybe it is to come back and to take rest. To take that bird's eye picture, that view, if you like. To rest within his presence and to see what it is that is calling us to. In all of this that we call church, let us be reminded of our call to be disciples of Christ. Being his hands, his feet, his ears, his eyes, his mouthpiece, to serve in the world. Disciple making, bringing those that God leads us to into the kingdom. Keeping calm and carrying on, evolving as to what is and what can be. Seeing where that takes us. Celebrating the little things, holding on to the calling as God leads us through the way, through Holy Spirit, as he creates those that God is leading us to. But ultimately, in the opportunities that he brings about spreading the good news, that gospel news of Jesus Christ, simply and consistently. Never in isolation, always with encouragement. Remembering, as it says in Revelation, that we seek to understand that no matter what the church faces, Jesus protects, Jesus empowers, Jesus encourages with his all-encompassing love and reassuring power. A reminder for us today, but also for our tomorrows, however many we may have left. That through Holy Spirit, Jesus reminds us, but also remains with us this very day and for all days until the day of glory. Be it we're called home to glory or Christ comes again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand the depth of your word. Help us to understand those things that we experience in a way that sometimes may leave us with more questions than answers. May even leave us with doubts. May leave us a little less hopeful than we may have thought. Lord, help us as we're reminded through David, where he said that, "The Lord is my salvation and my light, a stronghold in all my life." Help us, Lord, to have you at the centre of our lives. Lord Jesus, would you be the centre in all that we do, in all that we say, in all places that we go to, with all people that we may speak to, where we may simply and consistently share the good news of your wonderful name. Because what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, would you guide us? Would you steer us? Would you enable us, empower us, and encourage us to step out in the boldness and in confidence of the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, seeking, Lord, that as we lift your name up on high, you will draw all your people to you, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Lord, until you call us to glory or until you come again, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, I hope this short series has enabled you, John, to come up, be ready, to give you a fresh revelation of the world in which we live in, of how Christ calls each and every one of us to seek what it is that is calling us to and what we are to do, both individually but also corporately together. You know that, as we said, we're looking at a plan of action of what God's calling us to in terms of moving forward in the life of church and in community. There's got to be more of that in the coming year, and there's going to be opportunity for all of us to share within that and to have input into that and to see how we work in union, the opportunities to pray and to talk and to walk through with those plans. As I say, next week's Advent, and so we look forward in our preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again. Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that there was a time when we saw you in all your glory. And we ask that you will take us out and on Monday, Lord, we'll still have your glory with us. Give us opportunities, all of us, Lord. Opportunities to speak to people of your love. And Lord Jesus, let us look at these people as you look at them, as you look at us, not how we see them, but how you see them, Lord. Take each and every one of us and help and use us on Monday, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.